Raise your hand if you enjoyed the last couple months speaking on Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pull up the notes because Janu, I'm not saying it because Janu's sitting right there, but Janu said some pretty profound things last Sunday that really resonated in my spirit. And I guess this may be able to sum up what he spoke about when he was closing out our series. As he was talking about Holy Spirit, he talked about how the right foundation leads to the right baptism, which leads to the right men and women of God, and then the gifts and the fruits will be present. And I just found that very powerful. You know, I don't want to call it like a 3 or 4 step process, but as we move into March, we're going to be talking about the identity of the believer. And if you don't have that right foundation and you don't have that right baptism and you're not bearing the gifts and the fruits, I don't believe that you will be able to walk in the identity that God has given us. Again, you know, I would say that probably one of the biggest problems with church today and just people today is no one knows who they are. Everyone's searching. You know, that's why I believe we have issues like transgenderism in America, because people don't know who they are and they've never had a father to tell them this is who you are. So I'm really excited as we move into this month and the next couple months, and we just, you know, as a church, we can better receive our identity. So when we move out into the world on a daily basis, you know, we can help others find their identity.
And the CDs or the podcast to the whole beginning of the year on the Holy Spirit is available free.
Yes.
And so you can listen to the podcast, but if you're still a little bit old school and you need the CDs, we will burn them and give them to you as well.
Yeah, so I think you can be old school and still have an iPhone or a way to get podcasts. So raise your hand if you have an iPhone in the room. I'm a big iPhone supporter. I don't care what other phones can do. I believe that Steve Jobs created a very, very cool tool, and they just keep improving it. But podcasts are real neat. It's real easy to go on to the podcast app and subscribe to the CityGate. And yes, I saw everything from Matt this week and started re-listening to it and downloading it. And again, the podcasts are good. So can we all stand to our feet for just one moment? Lord, I just thank you right now, Father God, for this day, Lord, and for the word that's going to flow from Janu, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, that you're going to continue our journey in achieving our identity, Father God, as we know our identity is only found in you, Lord. But I just pray that you just bless Janu and bless his family right now, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for their commitment to this house and their commitment to your message and your journey, Father God. So we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give Janu a big hand clap this morning, everyone.
I need to get an iPad like you, Apostle. I thank God for this privilege. You know, I don't take this lightly. It's an honor to be in this house and be a part of this house and really pour in to your lives through the Word of God. I also want to thank God for Apostle Clay and Susan. You know, I've heard many of his testimonies and the sacrifices they've done. You know, I sometimes wonder how they even prevailed against some of the obstacles they went through. And so I really want to, you know, I admire you. You inspire me, Apostle. And I thank God because he's an apostolic father. Amen. You know, he's really a father. I remember saw something on Facebook about the name Clay. I think you posted there. I thought it was so true, you know. Very tender-hearted, father-like. At the same time, you know, I've noticed something about you, Apostle, is that you don't care if there's two people or 200 here. He cares about what we stand for. And he's very bold, and I admire that about him. You know, the mainstream church might call this heresy sometimes, but he stands for the truth. And just, you know, when Christ came into the scene, he was called a heretic. The Pharisees and Sadducees said he's a lunatic, but he had the true message. And similarly, I admire Apostle Clay stand for the truth and how he doesn't compromise. He doesn't care about the number of people. He cares about the message. Let's give a big hand to Apostle Clay and Susan just for who they are for us. Thank you, Lord. As we're going to kick off a new series on the identity, this is a game changer because Satan is okay with us playing church as long as we don't understand our identity. He's okay with, you know, just coming to church, going through the motions, but understanding this piece off the puzzle is key for you to be fully released into your destiny. You know, the early church, if you know the disciples or the apostles of the early church, out of the 12 or 13 main apostles, only one had deep insight into the piece called identity. And who was that? Apostle Paul. Paul was the one who had the most understanding of the New Testament identity. He even said the mystery, he called it the mystery of Christ. None of the other apostles had that kind of revelation into the new covenant identity like Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul, if you look at it, God used Apostle Paul to write most of the New Testament. Because this New Testament message is completely a new wine, a new message. It has not much to do with the old or any of the philosophies of the old. It's a complete separation from the old and into the new. So if you're ignorant of your identity, you may be setting up yourself for trouble. If you look at the world in general, what's the number one issue happening today? Identity crisis. There's a huge crisis on who we are. We try to find identity in our occupations or our professions or our hobbies, whatever it might be. But we often fall short. We get disappointed. We can't be the best moms. We can't be the best dads. We can't be the best employees. We can't be the best boss. Whatever it might be, we fall short most of the time. And there's an identity crisis, whether all age groups, at every age group, every demographic, there's an identity crisis. Whether you're white, black, Hispanic, Asian, there is this huge issue called identity crisis. And it all happened, as you know, at the Garden of Eden. So let's go to the next slide and let's set this up, what happened when Christ finished his work on the cross. There was a huge or mysterious or mighty transaction that happened at the cross. And it shook the cosmic realm. It shook the heavenly realms. It shifted pretty much. Let me call it a shift. Everything about humanity. And it's well nailed in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is a very well, people know this verse by and large. But I suspect a lot of people don't know the depth of this. It's very easy to understand how a plane flies. But how many understand the mechanics and dynamics behind an airplane? Not many. So it's very, we know this verse. It's, my children today, when I was, talking through some of these verses, my children said, my son Noah said, Dad, I know this verse, but I don't know how much depth of understanding he has about this verse. Similarly, the mainstream church fully don't understand the new identity they have received. So a mighty disconnection, a surgery, or what's the right word I'm looking for? A separation happened to the spirit realm. Your old passed away, and the new has come. So today we will look at what is exactly the old that passed away, and what's the new that has come. We're going to depend on God today to kind of delve deeper into this aspect. But to understand what is the old that has gone away, let's go to the next slide. What a prophetic word this morning. Amen. The paint stroke, the brush. I think it's much in sync with this theme today, because God wants to totally change your image. The image in which you see yourself. This is radical stuff. And I'm not saying you'll understand it fully. I hope you understand it fully. But this is going to be a course when you wrestle with God and you break into the dawn with a new identity. Especially understanding of the new identity. So let's look at the background of the history here. In 1 Timothy 2:17, the Bible says, the woman was deceived by Satan and fell into transgression. So when I say the old is gone, what is the old that was gone? Have a little understanding of the history here. Eve, the Bible says, was deceived by Satan. Mankind's sin was not a deliberate act of sin like the way devil rebelled against God. It was never like that. Satan very well knew what he was getting into. and he consciously defied God. But with human race, that was not the case. God created man in his own image, in his own likeness, in his own righteousness, in his spirit. And it was never the intention of the human race to defy God. You need to understand this, because what happened to us was a trickery. We were tricked into this condition. And that's why God provided a remedy for man's sin. He didn't do that for devil. God never provided a way of salvation for Satan. But God provided a way of salvation for mankind because we were deceived, we were tricked into sin. But what exactly what happened in the garden, right? I don't want to get too many details of what's a tree of good and evil and all that. However, I want to get at a high level, tell you what happened. God, the Bible says, has no shadow of turning. He is full of integrity. There is certain principles, there is laws that defines his existence. He is God. The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no shadow of turning with him. So in other words, there is this level of integrity in God from which he doesn't stray away from. He just doesn't get angry the flick of a second, or he doesn't get lustful when he sees someone. No, he has a level of integrity that he doesn't stray away from because he's God. That's what defines God. He's full of light. And when God created man or woman, he created them in that image. But at the same time, he gave them a free will. And the free will is this, that you got to stay in the light. In other words, Apostle John said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of his son will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness, and you will have fellowship with him. So our goal is to walk in the light. But guess what the devil did? He tempted Eve to stray away from the light. I really don't know what exactly the act was that happened in the garden. It was some sort of straying away from the integrity and light of God. Something happened there. We don't know. We have only allegory here talking about eating from the fruit of the tree of good and evil. But an act took place which strayed away from the integrity of God, from the light of God. And guess what happened? Anytime you stray away from the light of God, you enter into a black hole kind of atmosphere. Meaning, as I said, we have the law of gravity here. If I throw an apple up in the air, where is it going to come down to? Down to the earth. Similarly, God has designed everything through principles, laws, and he doesn't choose to defy any of that unnecessarily. He can break it, but he doesn't. Similarly, when man strayed away from the light, the consequence was a distorted conscience. The man who was formed in the image of God now suddenly fell from pure consciousness. The purity was gone. Meaning, the purity, when I say the one-minded, one-focused intentionality of man was gone. Now he got something like a bipolar, not a bipolar. Have you heard about this disorder called multiple personality disorder? Have you heard of it? Multiple personality disorder is like, you know, you think that you're two people. You know, you think that you're a policeman, then you're a criminal, or whatever you may want to call it. Multiple personality. You think you're good, then you're bad. So man's conscience through fall got completely messed up. And this was not the portion of man. We got deceived into this, and the consequences of this rippled into man's conscience. And now God is in the business of restoring man back again into the fullness of divine identity. Because we were created to be operating just like God. And God doesn't stand the fact that what the devil did. And so he knew this would happen, and he laid a lamb even before the foundations of the world to restore mankind to its original plan. Amen. So let's look at it. Next slide. So what happened at the garden was a separation from the awareness or the oneness with God. It's very important. We were created to be one with God, fully operating in his spirit, but there was a separation happened in our conscience realm. We are suddenly like, is this hot? Is it cold? Is it good? Is it bad? All this contrast. I call it duality, a double agent kind of deal happened in our mind. And today, even yet, we are struggling with it. You and I, even though we are redeemed, the traits of that duality is causing conflict in our lives. And now Christ, the goal of God, the goal of Jesus is to restore us back to unity. He wants to remove this multiple personality disorder and get you identified as one with God again. Your image is going to have be completely changed. So this morning you might be thinking, I'm a horrible mother. I'm a horrible father. I'm a horrible this or horrible that. But God says, no, that's not who you are. That was coming from a conscience that is marred through sin. You are holy, blemishless, righteous in my eyes now. You're going to live in that kind of identity. We're going to look into the details on the next slide, please. So look at this. Jesus came to, the Bible says, one of the purposes of Christ was to destroy the works of the devil. That's one of the reasons he even appeared. Because the devil had done a lot of damage in human consciousness. He completely made us inferior, even though we were not. In our mind, because of this distortion or compromise that happened in the garden, a ripple effect happened to the whole human race. And our consciousness was disturbed. And now Jesus comes to set us free from an identity that is never ours in the first place. You got to get this. This sinful identity, that baggage that we carry, was never ours in the first place. So let that soak in for a second. It was imposed upon us by deception. It's not fair. You are not your failures. You are not your addictions. You are not your defeats. That it was imposed upon you by deception. You are sons and daughters of God, full of divinity. And he wants to set you free from any other perception. Thank you, Jesus. So the old is gone now. So in other words, a real cosmic transaction. I don't know what a better word to find out, but a transaction happened in the heavenly realms where God completely cut off the old perception, the old mentality, the old Adamic consciousness, and brought you into a new being, a new creature. Then you might ask me, why am I not fully operating as a new person? See, the thing is, the transaction has happened. The realization has to be worked out by you. Apostle can buy me a car, give me the key, but it's up to me to go get the key and drive the car. So the transaction has been done, but the realization has to be worked out by you partnering with the Holy Spirit to completely transition into the new name that God has given you. Until then, it's a struggle. Until then, it's called identity crisis. Next verse, please. Next slide. So here's the new. What has happened to the new? It says you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So completely new. Not the horrible father, horrible mother, drug addict, alcoholic. That's not who you are. You might be still struggling with it, but guess what, who you are? You are a chosen race. You're people for God's own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Next slide. So God in the new covenant, in the new creation, he's calling us to a new and higher realization of who you've become in the spirit realm. Oftentimes, what is our tendency? To look at ourselves, to measure ourselves based on who we are in the flesh. We measure ourselves oftentimes on our victories or failures in the flesh. God wants us to get disconnected from that mindset. Instead, he wants you to focus on the spirit realm, who you are in the spirit. Despite all the abnormalities and deficiencies in your flesh, he wants you to come to a higher realization, rise up on who you've become in the spirit. Because God chooses to look at you only in that fashion. Hallelujah. Because everything else is covered under the blood of Jesus. When Christ said it is finished, it is done. It was done deal. The Bible says all the sins of the flesh, of what mankind did had been condemned in his flesh. Christ took it all. All your mess ups, your hang ups, all your failures were taken on the cross. And now he wants you to come up, rise above, and have a higher realization of who you become in the spirit. Hallelujah. A full transformation, a metamorphosis on who you've become. Hallelujah. So next slide, please. So we are transitioning from a duality to unity, identifying only with the Spirit of God. This is our journey now. Once we become born again, we are transitioning from this double-minded mindset. Am I really a son of God, or am I a wretched sinner? Am I what am I? The transition and the work of the Holy Spirit, if you partner with him, he will move you away from that duality, seeing yourselves in the deficiencies of your flesh. Instead of that, you're going to start looking at yourself in the spirit, who God has made you to become now. Holy, righteous, blemishless. Transition from that duality. Hallelujah. Next slide, please. So what happened? We looked at it. Just as one trespass, Adam's trespass, resulted in what? Condemnation, corruption to the whole human race. I did this mention last time, that because of one man's trespass, all who were born after them were declared what? Sinners, or corruption garden. Whether Dan Billman did his first sin or not, the minute he was born of his mother, what was on him? Sin. He was declared sinner. Corruption bleeded onto the whole human race. That's not fair, right? But God designed his principles were such that he didn't want to defy that either. Instead, what does he do? Look at the next. So also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. In other words, even before you committed your first righteous act, because of one man's obedience, what are you now? You're righteous. And that's how you need to look at yourself now. Not based on your performance, but based on your position in Christ. We got to get out of performance unnecessarily, performance-based mentality, especially performance in the flesh. You're never going to get anywhere if you judge yourself based on your performance in the flesh. Yes, you got to be in a continual improvement mode, no problem. But how you measure yourself has got to be based on your position, not your performance. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you're going to be in deep trouble, deep depression. Hallelujah. Because there was a time in my life I used to wonder, Lord, is there any hope? Because I used to just try to measure up to God in through my works. Lord, I want to do this. But I just keep on failing. But that is God's setup, you know. God's setup to help me go deeper. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. The Lord said, it is not based on your performance. It's based on the position that I've made you to become in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I realized that there was nothing that I could do to get that position. I couldn't earn it. Because I didn't earn the brand called sinner. I don't earn the brand called righteous. Now it's given to me as I receive Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the ripple effect of a corrupt mind did what? Let's look at the next one. So that we saw that one man's offense bleeded onto the whole human race. And guess what happened? Look at this. It says you were alienated from God and were hostile in your minds. This was the effect of the first man's sin. Even look at what happened to Adam in the garden. Right after that compromise, he hid from God. That was his first reaction. This is what happens when your consciousness gets contaminated. You're suddenly feeling dirty, filthy, and suddenly Adam feels naked. He never felt that before. This is what happens when you stray away from the light of God. You enter into confusion and chaos. So Paul says, you were once alienated from God and were hostile in your minds because of your errors. But look what has happened in the new covenant now. But now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ to present you holy, unblemished, and blameless in his presence. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Right? He has now made a divine transaction now to present us completely holy, not based on what you did, just by the status of your position in Christ. Holy, unblemished, blameless in His presence. Next time you catch yourself in an error or sin, don't beat yourself too much down. Instead, take time to be in solitude and rest and say, that's not me. God has made a divine exchange. I'm a new creation in Christ, and the just shall live by faith. All my sins and trespasses has been covered by the blood of the Lamb. And you got to see, over time what has happened is human race has practiced something called sin consciousness. We practice this over, and so now it's a habit. Now, you know, guess what? How to reverse this? You got to practice righteous consciousness. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm declared holy. I'm blemishless. Hallelujah. This is all practice. Just reversing the other thing. But if you choose to look at yourself in the weakness of your flesh, in the shortcomings of your flesh, you're going to be so burdened. You're going to be so weighed down. Many people commit suicide. Many get depressed. But God says, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Because the sinful identity, the baggage that you're carrying, is not who you are. Come to me, God says. I'll give you rest because you are my people. This devilish sinful identity has been imposed and tricked upon you. That's not you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Next verse. So what do we do? Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. What is the full assurance that faith brings? The full assurance that faith brings is this, that we are now sons and daughters of God, washed clean by the blood of Christ. And that's the full assurance with which we draw near to God, that we are now clean as it can get be, as it can get. Clean as it can get. That's what we mean. That's the full assurance through which we could draw near to God now. We draw near to God in the spirit realm. And in the spirit, we draw near to Him and come with a confident heart. Why? Bible says, for our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. This is the number one enemy of mankind, a guilty conscience. And that had been just bothering human race. So most of the religions of the world has been a device to pacify the conscience of humankind. If you look at the Hindus, the Muslims, the sacrifices they do. Since they didn't know the real gospel, guess what? They set up a religion for themselves to do what? To pacify their guilty conscience. Because man has been, since the Garden of Eden, trying to resolve the guilt and sin and shame problem. See, we got to, in order for our image to change in our hearts, we also have to change the image of how we perceive God. What is God? What is the image of God in your heart? It's very important, because through, I would say, churchianity and all the religion, we've been kind of imposed, the perception we got is God is a mad, angry, I don't know what else to say, all sorts of negativity around God. But that's not the case. You got to have the right image of God in order to receive from God. Let's look at the next slide, please. Thank you, Jesus. Bible says in Matthew 9, when Jesus saw the crowds, He was moved with compassion, for they were troubled and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. When I first got this revelation about the new covenant identity, it was like a eureka moment for me. I was like, oh, thank you. The burden was so gone. But again, this is a spirit work that God does in our mindset. After years of struggle and wrestling with God, God shifted me into the new covenant identity, which was such liberating. And then one of the first things that the Lord showed me was, as a father pitieth his children, so I pitieth on the human race. You know the compassion that God has upon all nations of the earth, whether it's the United States, Syria, Iraq, Iran, India, Pakistan, doesn't matter. The whole human race has been created in His own image, and He moves with great compassion. And when He looks at the confused and troubled human race, He sees a sheep without shepherd. His heart is so moved to see, and he wants to so help us. Next one. And so, as I mentioned, the plan of God is to bless all nations because his compassion is toward who? All nations. Because all human races, whether Spanish, Chinese, white, black, has been created in the image of God. Everybody is reflecting some trait of God. No one race can say we reflect God. No one. When you see multiple personalities, multiple colors, races, languages, you see the diversity of God in them. Everybody is carrying a portion of God. Hallelujah. And so his plan was, through the seed of Christ, all nations should be restored into the image of Christ, into the spirit identity in Christ. Everybody. And that's a promise to Abraham. God didn't say Abraham, because of Israel, will be blessed. He said, all nations shall be blessed because of the seed that is coming out of you. Grand scheme of salvation of God. To bless everybody because he wants to restore all human race back into the divine identity, not on the sinful identity. And how does he do that? He does that through the proclamation of the finished works of Jesus Christ. He wants the whole world to know the price for your errors and sins have been paid for. It's done. That's not going to be a barrier. I just now want you to receive me. Next slide. So he, when he looks at the whole world, he sees a weary and burdened human race. He wants people to get rest now. Because this was never our portion. When God created man in the garden, all was given. What else was given? Provision was given. Protection was given. He didn't have to toil or sweat to get an earning. All these burdens, all this turmoil that we go through daily, sleepless nights, lack of money, poverty, shortage, insufficiency, is all because of a marred conscience and consequence of sin. But God wants us to restore back to the divine identity. You know, people say John 3:16 is one of the most famous or powerful words. I would say there's one more, John 3:17. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 3:17. What is the next slide? To me, I would say this is more important than any other words. It says, God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but save the world through him. This is the grand plan of salvation. If you have anything else in mind, you got to recheck your theology. He wants to restore all people groups to who they are, the divine identity in Christ. Hallelujah. Next one, Psalm 103, the verse I talked to you earlier. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Compassion is a trait of God. No matter what it is, what you have done, he's filled with compassion. Even at the cross, you saw the thief who cried out for mercy. Christ said, today you will be sitting with me in paradise. Compassion. Doesn't the sin nature, the works of sin has been completely paid for. And God doesn't put it on you anymore as long as you turn away from it and come to him. Now, the difference is this. The open invitation is for all, right? All mankind. But some people still choose to continue in the path of error. You can't do anything about that. And those are the ones who are going to be judged. Because despite a way out, if you continue to keep on choosing the way of error, God is full of, as I said, full of integrity, and he can defy himself. There is consequences for that error. So next verse, please. Next slide. So we are transitioning from an Adamic consciousness to a Christ consciousness. What is Adamic consciousness? Next slide. It is filled with sin, guilt, shame. Why sin? Sin is wherever the absence of God is. If the Spirit of God is not there, there is total sin. And so Satan wants you to be locked into a godless mentality. Look at the world. Keep God away from school. Keep God away from every place you can keep. Why? Because where there's absence of God, there is total chaos, confusion, and sin and guilt and shame. But what does Christ bring? The Bible says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Sin consciousness drives you away from God. Christ consciousness brings you to the realization that you are one with God. Because that only through Christ consciousness you can continue steadfast in the path of righteousness. Anytime you take, this is what the Bible says, keep your eyes steadfast on Jesus. Anytime you take your eyes off from the Spirit, you are gone to the flesh. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Next slide, please. So created, we were created to be in unity with God. Adam and Eve were created to be operating like gods on earth. Dominion, power, privilege, provision, protection. They were gods on the earth. And Satan, guess what? Satan hated God already. So he didn't want more gods running around here. So guess what he did? Deception. He completely deceived mankind and created this mess. But God ain't done with this, right? He ain't finished. The Holy Spirit has not said he's finished. He's going to have complete victory. And we are going to reign supreme. The Bible says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Hallelujah. And he will do that as you partner with God. Next slide, please. So what have you become in the new creation? For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God or daughters of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on who now? Christ. Now you are Christ as well. What does Christ mean? The anointed one. God has called us to be not some assistants, but joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Full privilege of the heavenly kingdom bestowed upon the sons and daughters of God. Full authority, full privilege, and full access to the throne of God. Hallelujah. Nothing taken aback. But next slide. Again, Galatians 3:28 confirms, it says, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. So all the human divisions we created over the years through Adamic conscience is now removed. Why? Because now we are all made one in Christ Jesus. That's why, you know, there's no problem whether there are male preachers or a female preachers. As long as you're born of the Spirit of God, I want to hear Christ preaching in you. We don't have all the traditions here. Why? Because we identify with only the Spirit of God, not the divisions of man. Hallelujah. Next slide, please. So this was one of the chief prayers of Jesus. Jesus said, Lord, Father, I pray that all the disciples will become one like you and I are one. One in accord, one in mindset. We operating as God's kings and priests on earth. And that's when we become full mature sons and daughters of God. When we operate in the righteousness, in the authority, in the identity of God. So before I close, I wanted to bring 7 points to you real quick. As to what has, as a new creation, you have power, privilege, and position that has been given to you. And what are those? Next slide. Because you didn't know this. Because the Bible says, in all these things that happened in the Old Testament was written for our, as an example to us. So if you look at the Old Covenant and read it as a historical record, you miss the spiritual revelation. Every name, every place, every comma in the Old Testament has a spiritual meaning. And so today, God has is asking me, next slide, to expound upon the term Jew. 3 words I want, but hopefully in the next month or so, I can expound on the next, but today I want to park on the word Jew. The Old Testament believer was known by the name Jew. Do you know that? Next slide. But a Jew, oftentimes, you know, we say a Jew is someone who is from the nationality of Israel. But that's not the case. Look at this. In Romans 2:28, it says, he's not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor a circumcision, which is outward, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. So Jew, being a Jew is nothing to do with your national origin or your nationality, but it has everything to do with your spirituality. It is not something of a national origin here. But guess what? Next slide. What is really a Jew? A Jew is the one who has received the spiritual circumcision of the heart. He has gone through a process. So who is the real Jew? You are the real Jew. Say, tell your neighbor, I'm the real Jew. Hallelujah. Next verse, next slide. Again, to confirm, Apostle Paul says, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Not all are children of Abraham because there is offspring. Whoa, wonder, huh? I thought everybody living in Israel were Israelites. So, you know, the average person, you know, everybody living in America is Americans, China is Chinese, but that's not the case with Jews. Just because you are having a citizenship of Israel doesn't make you a Jew, because it has nothing to do with your national origin. Being a Jew has everything to do with your spirituality. Are you gone through the spiritual circumcision process? Do you have a new heart? Are you a new creation? So, but the best part is this. There are privileges that comes having the identity called Jew. The spiritual Jew. Next verse. Look at this in Acts 19:15. There were seven sons of Sceva trying to cast out demons from a person. But then the evil spirit, see, guess what? The evil spirit realm knows your spiritual identity. You know that? You can tell yourself, I'm American, I'm Chinese, I'm Indian. Doesn't matter. He knows only one identity. Are you a believer or not? So he asked the sons of Sceva, sons of a high priest. They were born of the Abrahamic line, but devil didn't care because he's not a true Jew. The sons of Sceva. So he asked him, Jesus I know, the devil is asking this guy, Paul I know, who the heck are you? Who are you? I know all these guys, but I don't know. Meaning, your spiritual identity is known in the heavenly realms. Ask yourself who you are. Are you a threat to the kingdom of God? Are you, to the kingdom of darkness? Do you make a dent against Satan? What is your identity? Because the evil spirits know very well who you are, even though you don't know who you are. Even if you beat yourself based on all your weakness and deficiencies, when he sees a real woman or son of God, guess what? He shrieks. He trembles. Because he knows who you are. So Romans 3, one, next slide. Then what then is the advantage of being a Jew? Let's quickly hit this. Number one, next slide. A Jew is known for his praise. Jew comes from the term Judah or Yehuda, means praise. A true Jew doesn't require an orchestra to praise God. He's praising God for what God has already done, what God is doing, and what God will do. They'll praise God in the bathroom. They'll praise God while they're in the car. They'll praise God when they see a billboard. Whatever they see, they can turn it into a rhema word. That's how praisers are. Because they're born of the Spirit of God. He's known for his praise. Next one. Next slide. The previous one, please. The previous one. Yes. Number two, Jew understands worship. Again, praise and worship is a little different, but a Jew understands praise and worship. Worship don't need any music. Worship means total consummation with God. You're consumed by God. You're fully adoring God. So a Jew, a true Jew, is in a mode of worship. He doesn't need music. He doesn't need the props. He is totally consumed by God. And that's what Jesus said. Next slide. What does he say? But a time is coming, he said, and has now come when the true worshipers will arise in spirit and in truth. And the Father is seeking such as these to worship him. Tell your neighbor, I'm a real Jew. You are a real Jew because you worship. You're consumed by God. You adore God. You call upon God for not what he gives, but for who he is. Because you got a glimpse of God. It's a mark of a true Jew. Next one. Number three. Jew has access to the revelation of God. In Romans 3 it says, the Jews had access to the oracles of God. Guess what with the privilege we have as a Jew? We have the direct access to revelation. Guess how many revelations come forth from Apostle Clay and the other prophets in the house? Because we have direct access to the instruction and the mind of God. Hallelujah. This is a great privilege that the average person don't have. We have access to the oracles, the scriptures of God. Look at the next slide. It says, Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. This is not a light thing to take, lightly. Because, you know, as Apostle boldly has said before, in the South we've made the written Bible like an idol. But there's more than the written Bible, my friends. There's a Rhema word of God which will tell you how to operate step by step. There was nothing written in the Bible about David killing Goliath. You know, David never read in the Bible, okay, this day I got to go kill Goliath. How did he know what to do? Because he had access to the revelation of God. When God told him, go cut that neck off, he knew what to do. That's called accessing the prophetic revelation of God. Knowing what to, because that's the game changer in your life. Not just obeying the written word, which is very important, but ability to listen and hear the voice of God. And we've been entrusted with the very word and sound and voice of God. Next one, number four. What's the next trait of Jew? The true Jew carries the anointing. Look at the next slide. Is it Zechariah? In the book of Zechariah, it says, Zechariah, I put Romans. So in the book of Zechariah, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of the garment and say, let us go with you. The anointing of God will be so strong at the end times upon the Jews, the real Jews, that people will say, hey, Dan, can we go with you? Just like, you know, people, whenever they met Jesus, they said, can we just follow you? Can we just stay where you are? The anointing hell had to ooze out of you because the presence of God is so strong in your life. Because a Jew carries what? The anointing of God, the presence and power of God. Hallelujah. The next slide, please. A Jew understands their power. As I mentioned, coming to the new creation bestows upon you great power, privilege, and position. And a Jew understands their power. A Jew somehow gets out of every jam the devil brings against them. That is a characteristic of a Jew. No matter what you throw at him or her, he will come out of it. You can send him through fire and he will not even smell like smoke. That's the characteristic of a Jew. He's resilient and the enemies can prevail against him or her. He knows that, next verse, greater is he that is in me than the one that is in the world. A Jew has power. He's having a full confidence and conviction of who resides in him. Tell your neighbor, I'm a real Jew. A real Jew knows that God will always cause him to triumph through Christ Jesus. He knows that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against him, God will condemn it. Hallelujah. He knows that, or she knows that very well, because the Jew understands their power. You're going to conquer every mountain that comes your way because you're a Jew. You know, the Haman's wife told Mordecai, there is no point in you fighting against this man called Mordecai, because why? He's a Jew. There's no way on earth you're going to prevail against a son or a daughter of God. And Mordecai didn't listen to Haman didn't listen to his wife. And you know what happened very soon. You will not prevail against the sons and daughters of God because they are the apple of God's eye. A Jew understands their power. Next one, next slide. A Jew is surrounded by favor. Have you noticed we, the Jews, when we go to our secular workplaces and other areas, we got extraordinary favor. 90% of the company can get laid off, but you will be there. Extraordinary favor, rebounding. Amazes us, right? Because that's a characteristic of a Jew. Because we are surrounded by favor as with a shield. Next slide, it says in the book of Esther, the king loved Esther more. Next slide. The king loved Esther more than all the women. And she found favor and grace with him more than all the others. In other words, there's great grace upon you when you are a true son and daughter of God. You will find more favor and grace than your peers. Great favor and grace. In other words, you are not next in line for the miracle. Have you heard that saying, you're next in line? No. You are first in line for the miracle. It's here and it's coming to your way. Because you're a Jew. You don't have to wait any longer. And finally, next slide. The Jew understands purpose. A true Jew, and the true new creation understands purpose. They know that all things work together for their good because they are called according to His purpose. See, the average Christian mentality is that all the chaos and tribulations that come forth is not right. But that's not how it is. The true Jew knows that all the obstacles and hurdles in your life is designed, is kept there to help you reach your maximum potential. They understand purpose behind everything. Every mountain that you face, every enemy that you face has been set up there so that you can be promoted to the highest level. A true Jew understands that we not only need cheerleaders in our life, but we also need who? Haters. You can get to where you are without some enemies, my friends. It's all been set there so that God can release His tremendous power, make a display of His power. Next slide, I'll show you this. The Bible says in Romans, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I may display my power in all the earth." In other words, Pharaoh was set there. You know why? So that God can show a display of how mighty He is for His children. Every Pharaoh you face, every mountain you face is there to get you to your maximum potential. Don't give up. Every tumultuous relationships, every heartache, everything that you've gone through is set there so that God can make a display of His glorious power in your life. Because a Jew understands purpose. It's okay to have some haters and enemies. They're going to propel you to the next level. Because a true Jew understands purpose. Why am I saying this? The new creation, as a new creation, we've been given great privilege and access. The Bible says we've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus now. Great position, great power, great privilege, great favor, and all the 7 points I just mentioned. You don't need to act like an inferior person anymore. You're a Jew. And the great glory of God is upon you. So what do you do next? How do you live? Romans, next verse, Romans 13. It says, put on the armor of light, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. With this new mentality, the new creation mentality, continue to walk steadfast in Christ. Don't let your weakness and your deficiencies in the flesh bog you down. Don't identify with it. That keeps happening, but you do what you can to overcome it in the spirit. That's all. But don't identify with who you are in the flesh anymore. A total disconnection. Be what God has told you to be, which is you are clothed with Christ now. Put on the armor of light. Next slide. And Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds and distinguish what is good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. That's our whole duty now. We don't have to worry about performance now. All you have to do is find out what's acceptable in the sight of God and conform your lifestyles to that. We don't have any other burdens to worry about. God is on our side. If God is with us, who can be against us? Keep on marching and keep on conquering for the glory of God. And Revelation 2:17, I'll close with this. The Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will give the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone inscribed with a new name, known only to the one who receives it. This is the spiritual transition to your new identity. As you continue to walk faithfully, press on to God, God is going to completely take off that old guilt and shame and Adamic mentality out of you. He's going to give you a new name. You're going to have a new mindset, fully operating in the confidence as a son and daughter of God. Not looking at any other background, not looking at your financial background, your relationship, none of that, but looking at yourself in the image of God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's rise up. Let's stand upon our feet. Hallelujah. Lift your hands all over the building. Let's just receive. We need an impartation to move into the new manner, the new name that God has kept for each one of us. Enough with the shame and guilt. Enough with the stuff that has bogged us down, kept us inferior, that kept us under. We don't need that anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep, come on, let's praise God for a few minutes for the revelation that God has poured out today. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to completely transition, oh God, into our new identity, the new name. Hallelujah. Handara Rajara. Yes, God. Jesus. Oh, glory. Keep praying. Thank you, Jesus.
I hear the Lord saying that He's washing us by the water of His Word today. That there were words spoken over us during our life which have gotten into our subconscious, and it's caused us to think about ourselves in a certain way, and it's limited us from being able to attain to that place. But I hear the Lord saying, I'm washing you by the water of the Word today. That this Word that came forth is going to continue to wash you, because He wants to wash off those imprints of those words that were spoken. Somebody here was told, you're just like your daddy and he was no good. And that's held you back. You don't even think about it, but it's there in your subconscious. There's someone here... why can't you be like your sister? She never makes a mistake, and those words have held you back. God's washing. I'm seeing a cloth that's filled with grease and stain, and I'm seeing it dipped in, not bleach, but in the blood of Christ, and it's washing away that stain. And God is saying, I'm going to lift off of you the imprint of words that have conditioned you to believe about yourself the lies that the enemy speaks. The scripture is very clear. It said, for there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Listen, when you allowed words of condemnation to touch you, it's because you're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. What God has said over you, you being a true Jew, when what God has said over you is true, no matter how you feel. How many of you on some days you just don't feel where you need to feel? But we have to go on. Anybody, Rodney, you ever woke up and said, I don't feel like going to work today? But then reality set in that the house payment's coming and you got to go anyway. And see, we have so many today. I was having a conversation this week when I saw the first Matrix movie. God spoke a tremendous prophetic word to me. He showed me in that movie there were two groups of people, those seeking to escape from reality and those seeking to escape to reality. How many of you know how to spell reality? Well, you actually spell it responsibility. Because people that are responsible in their actions are people that embrace reality. Father, wash us with the water of your words.